Welcome to the Coaching Up Podcast, shining a light on sports and building up the community of those within it. Here are your hosts, Anthony Davis and Nikki Murphy.
Nikki, are you there?
I am there. Are you there?
Mentally, physically, both. What we got going on?
Well, you know, I have a little cold, maybe allergies probably. So
yeah, I think I got that going on too.
So yeah,
it's going to be a wounded one today. Hopefully our guest doesn't mind, but you know,
we're a little walking. He probably has allergies too, because he's outside all the time.
I mean, pollen count is at like 1,000, I think.
Yeah.
I believe it's 1,000 out of 10. So just want to pull a curtain back for the listeners real quick. You know, Nikki and I were talking about our current setup. I don't know if you all think that we have this posh studio. We don't, because
we do not.
I'm currently sitting in office at my house with my mic stand on the desk, and I can't get the height right. So I'm like bending over into the mic, and I've been told that I can't be heard a lot.
Yeah, as loud. The sound level is on point, Coach.
Well, because I have a tablet, an organizer, 3 notepads. And I don't even know what the heck this is, but I'm right up in the mic. So I'm coming at you hard.
I think we need to upgrade.
And Nikki, your situation currently is what?
Yes. I am sitting on the floor, leaning against the sofa in the basement.
Yep.
So that this microphone can be right up.
This is, I'll tell you what, this is top notch. This podcast right here. If it doesn't crack top 10 on Apple, I don't know what will, to be honest with you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying, but we're getting better and better every episode, I feel like. Like this, what you just did is leveling up for your sound quality over there.
We're having fun. I mean, nobody can deny that. That's for sure.
Right? Can I tell you what happened to me today, just now?
Looking forward to it.
You would never guess. This is not how I thought my night was going to go. So I'm like, you know, hanging out doing the dinner stuff, and a neighbor who I've never met knocks on our front door.
Oh God, the rogue neighbor.
Yeah, and I'm like, hi, you know, and he's like, hi, do you have a ferret? And I was like, no.
What a great question.
Wow. Oh, because I think I saw a ferret running around, and I was like, no, we do not have a ferret.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make that up. I mean,
what is happening? Okay. Happened. Yeah. So I chit chat with this guy. We're talking all about his life. And I mean, it tends to happen with me. Often people just like really open up to me, and I'm like,
oh
okay.
God, me too.
You know, I'm trying to cook dinner, you know, but okay. Like, nice guy. And so, you know, I go back in the house and I say to Celia, like, yeah, did you hear that guy? Look, he said he saw a ferret. And Celia's like, well, there's a sign for a lost ferret. And I was like, oh, what? There's a sign for a lost ferret? She's like, yeah, it's by my bus stop. I'm like, all right, well, let's go look at that sign, right? So we go down, get the number off of a piece of paper that has, like, with a Sharpie, like, lost ferret and the phone number. And so I called, and it went to voicemail. So I was like, well, I don't know what's happening. You know, I just don't know, so it's fine. Well, she called me back, like, an hour later. And I had forgot she called me. And she's like, hello? She called me. She's like, hello? And I was like, hello? She's like, who's this? I'm like, who's this?
Me.
You know the drill.
Is this the parent
so
lady?
I'm like, yes. She's like, I was like, well, who's this? She says, Donna. And I was like, okay, I don't have a Donna. And she's like, well, someone from this number just called a little while ago. And I was like, oh, wait, do you have a lost ferret? She's like, I do have a lost ferret. And I was like, well, my neighbor said he saw them in the bushes on the side yard. And you're welcome to come over and look. But my daughter's been looking, and they've been outside with the dogs. So I don't know if it's there, but you're welcome to come over. So she ended up coming over. And she's like, I think the ferret's name is Trixie. And so she was yelling for Trixie. I was like, look, you can stay here as long as you want.
Please tell me you have a video of Donna walking around your house screaming for Trixie. By the way, I loved how you used gender-neutral pronouns when talking about the ferret.
Oh, yeah?
You said they were walking around your house. Did you mean to do that? Like, what?
Oh.
I think we can. I mean, well, and we're not assuming. I'm not assuming any. I'm listening. But you said, I saw them, my neighbor saw them in my yard.
Did I say
that?
And
I thought there might have been two, but then I remembered.
So, but there's cats wandering around. So to me, I'm talking to this neighbor and I'm like, maybe he saw a cat, you know? And I said to the neighbor, I said, well, was it a cat? Because I know the neighbors behind us have a couple cats that roam around. He was like, oh, I don't think I know those. I wasn't want that one. I was like, oh, okay.
So your neighbor,
because you know, I don't know this neighbor at all. I've never talked to him.
Is very in tune to the wildlife population around your house.
I mean, and then the neighbor, you know, who knocked on my door, he was, you know, how he was like opening up to me about his life and how he lived in Alabama and he was working the lines, and he asked the guy if it was bolted in, and the guy said it was, and he asked the guy again if it was bolted in, and the guy said it was, but it wasn't bolted in, and it fell on his head, and now he has a hard time, like, you know, with collecting his words. So I'm like, okay, you know. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Is there a ferret?
I'm laughing.
So this lady, Donna, is outside right now yelling for Trixie. Trixie.
Oh, my God. Please. Because she's,
I said, what's the ferret's name? And she said, Trixie. I said, does Trixie, like, come when you call her? And she said, yeah.
No, Trixie,
when I call her, not. I was like, well, feel free to call her. Oh, my gosh, Anthony. So
Trixie does not answer to humans. I promise you. I know nothing about ferrets, but I do know Trixie ain't answering Donna. And I'm laughing because you're the same. You and I are very similar because, like, my kids are at the point where they don't even want to go anywhere with me anymore because we're literally standing in line at the grocery store, and this lady behind me will be like, so I got laid off today. I just was, and I'm just turning, and Kevin will be like, I think she's talking to you. I'm like, what? And I turn around, I'm like,
I can't handle it.
Oh, really?
It's every
day. I feel like I got
day.
A sign on my forehead that says, tell me all your problems.
Same.
I am ready to answer.
It's a lot.
Like, I'll come in the car sometimes. Like, if I'm in a store and Christine stays in the car, like, I'll get in the car and I'll be like, I'll just, like, shake my head. And she's like, what? And I'll tell her, like, some dude just, like, I don't know, like, asked me some random. She's like, only you.
Yeah.
Would
and me.
To a random stranger in the store. I'm like, I don't seek it out.
No, I do not need to know any of it. But certainly I will be an ear for these people because I feel
I'm not turning
maybe they need
away.
It.
You want to talk?
I don't know.
I'm in. I'm a talker. I'll talk.
But I guess he did see the ferret because there is a missing one. So. Anyway,
so that's your neighbor was on point. Donna might be a little off. Let's be honest. I mean,
yeah,
she's talking to ferrets. I mean, we got problems with this. I don't know.
I don't know.
Not a big ferret guy, but you know, it is what it is.
No, I'm definitely not. Look, I love all animals, but I don't need any of them.
I can barely
take care of what we have right now. So,
well, we're also coming up. We just came off of a weekend where. Two very important women in my life had birthdays, you being one of them.
That's
coach.
Right. Yeah.
Big birthday.
Thank you.
I called you to talk to you to wish you a happy birthday, and Kevin was in the car when I did. And when we get off the phone, Kevin says to me, he goes, I know why you get along with Miss Nikki. And I said, why? And he said, because she laughs at all your stupid jokes. I'm like, wow, that's such a nice thing to say, Kevin.
I am a good audience.
I'm so happy that that's what you got out of me calling my friend and wishing her a happy birthday. You little, you know, what in the hell was that all about?
And then, hilarious,
of course,
my
wife's birthday was yesterday.
So yeah, birthday, that's right.
Christine.
Happy
Big
birthday.
Shout out. I think I knocked the present department out of the park. I did pretty good there.
Very good.
I'm typically not a good present giver, but I think I did okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So what did you all do?
Well, what'd you give her?
Oh, well, yeah. Like, so Christine wrote a children's book, for those of you who don't know. It's called Just
Jump
In.
What's it called?
Just Jump In.
Just Jump In.
Yep. And it's about
by Christine Davis.
Yeah, it's about a kid passing a swim test and going through all, you know, the adversity of and the nerves and all the stuff that you do going through that.
Yeah. And, we bought it. I read it to the kids.
Yep. Purchased.
At nighttime.
So I bought her a shadow box. Routine. I bought her a shadow box to hang her book up in the office here.
Oh,
the house.
That's really
Because
sweet.
I was hanging up all my cool stuff, and she kind of said, I don't have anything to hang. And I'm like, oh. And I, like, as soon as she said that, I'm like, birthday present.
Yeah, that's cool. I like
before,
that.
The night before her birthday, she told me that she said, I really hope you listened and got me, you know, the one thing that I really wanted. And I'm like, yep, definitely didn't do that. And she said that she wanted she told her friend that she wanted a nice Apple Watch band, like a dressy
one. Yeah.
So yeah. Amazon to the rescue, picked that yeah. up on the fly.
Love it. Love it.
And then I got her some, you know, a nail gift card too. So
yeah.
I mean, kind of knocked it. Kind of knocked it out. Crushed it.
Grand slam.
So what did you do? What did you do for the B-Day?
Well, Celia had two soccer games, one at 9 in the morning and one at 6 at night. So that was tricky. God.
Soccer?
I went for a walk in the woods, obviously.
I got a picture. No.
Yes, you
Nikki
did.
In the woods.
And we got the local. We got takeout from the local.
What did you
and
get, though? Tell the folks cake. What you got.
I got a crab cake, and it was delightful.
Did you get the charcuterie board?
I did. I did
Thank
get the
God.
Charcuterie
you
board.
About that thing,
I did.
And it had me going.
Yeah, I think it was a really good day. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So who do we have coming on tonight?
Yes, tonight we have Coach Mike Pinacchia. He coaches mm-hmm. for Pipeline.
Good job with that last name there,
Thank you.
Coach.
Thank
I mean, you.
You
really do well with that.
Well, I've known Mike for a little bit, so I feel like I should nail this.
Okay, okay.
I know his family pretty good, so... Nice. So Mike coaches for Pipeline. He coaches his daughter, her team. I forget what age group it is, but we'll let him kind of talk about his thing. But
yeah,
we want to talk to him just about, you know, we want to get some coaches on, get some perspective from coaches on, you know, what they see. And we all know how much I love soccer. So I'm looking forward to picking his brain about soccer because it's my
yeah.
favorite thing in the
sure.
world. Just kidding. It's not. But
hey, maybe after this episode, you'll love it.
Maybe. I mean. Listen,
don't count
always,
it out. Don't close the door.
There's always a possibility that I will.
Yeah.
That I will love it. Yeah. But there's also a possibility that I
at
will
least
not.
Learn something new for sure.
I think it's not a hatred. Let me put it that way. Like I respect the game. It's just that yeah. I was never a runner, and
sure.
like that's all you do.
Yeah, it's a lot of running.
And the fact that you can literally like Kevin played, so literally we would leave my house, drive 2 hours to get to a game, sit at the field for 2 hours, drive 2 hours home. And when we got home, the score was still 0-0.
Like, but there's so much action.
What action?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
me.
Lots of whistles, lots of flags, a lot of people putting flags in the air. Oh, I don't, okay, cool. Rock on. We tied.
No way.
Did
there's
you win?
So
no.
much action.
Did you lose? No. We tied, and we got a medal for it. Okay.
No.
Enough. Okay. Just kidding. Soccer's cool. It's, you know, the hey, fastest JK. Growing sport. Fastest growing sport next to pickleball in the world. So what are you going to do? Got to watch that pickleball. Now, we're excited to have Mike on. Like I said, it's always good to get perspective mm-hmm. from all the coaches that we have. And he's been an avid listener, so we appreciate that. So, yeah, let's bring him on and see what he's got. How you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Oh, you know, we're just living the dream here on the Coaching Up podcast, my friend.
Mike, thanks for coming on. I hear that you've heard us before, and so you know what we do with our numbers. Is that right?
I do, sure do. Yep.
Yeah. Do you have a number that you're standing at today? And if so, what is your story with it?
Yeah, sure. I guess Tuesday, at this point, I'm probably an 88, I want to say.
Okay.
All right. Strong.
That's very strong. You might be carrying us, Mike.
Challenging at the moment. I'm actually excited to be here with you guys doing something that's a little different and maybe out of my comfort zone, but something that's really cool. And I'm excited to be here. So that's what I would say.
Awesome. Nikki, what do you got? Why don't you go now?
I'd say it's probably 72. Just because we went to Philly yesterday for a class field trip, and then we had a lacrosse game when we came home. We are off today of practice, so that I should really be higher, but I'm just letting myself have this day. It'll go back up. It's nothing crazy, but I'm just tired and I'm not feeling that good. So what about you, Anthony? What's your number?
I'm equally tired. So I'm gonna go a little bit higher. So I'm always a 90s guy, like usually. So I'll stick at 92, 93. I'm tired just from the weekend. We had opening yeah. day for softball, and I love coaching. I love softball, but I hate opening day. It's like, it's the worst. It's like,
well, there's a parade, right?
Oh,
and there's banners.
Oh my, there's a parade.
Do you make the banners? Does your team make the banner?
Our team volunteers to make the banner. So
that is very kind.
Super cool. Gina, shout out. She makes the
banner. Shout out.
But you know, it's, you know, go up to the track and walk around the track. I'm not a real big fan of walking to begin with, but then then you got to walk like another 2 miles to your field to play a little 45-minute game.
Yeah.
Where everyone's mad at you because it's only 40 minutes and it's like Sally can't play first base and pitcher and third, you know, all the other stuff that you go through. And then there's pictures and then there's a skills competition and
wow,
there's 750,000 people and you can't park anywhere. I mean, I sound like a 78-year-old man, but today I definitely feel like that as well. Cause right after that, we went to my son, Kevin had 2 baseball games. So I'm the bench coach. I have to sit on for basically 5 hours sitting on a bench.
Yikes.
And so after going to opening day and then all that, we also volunteered to go to a bull roast Saturday night. So I literally left my house at 8 o'clock in the morning and didn't get home till like 11:30
yikes,
at night. So I'm still feeling it, you know, 43-year-old man, and I am hurting today, guys.
We talked the next day and I called you, Anthony, and I talked to you about the fireworks, right? So what was it?
Forest Hill.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I was driving out in Forest Hill and there were like the most beautiful fireworks displays over a farm. I was like, OMG, this is gorgeous. And I pull up to Forest Lakes Elementary School to like get a better view, and there's people there, like it was organized. So I text a girlfriend who lives in that neighborhood. I'm like, what's happening with this fireworks? And she said it's Forest Hill opening day celebration. They do fireworks, like legit fireworks.
Wow. Please don't give anybody in the Hickory organization any ideas. No, listen, it was great.
I mean, that was pretty cool though.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, the kids, listen, the Hickory board, which I'm on, by the way, did a great job with the opening day. Like literally, it was great. Everything was great. It was just, it's just a hectic day.
Yeah. Just imagine doing the hectic day and then, you know, the fireworks at night. Like it's just, yeah, it's interesting.
No, I can't do it.
Anthony, where was the venue for opening day?
We were at C. Milton Wright. So, So yeah, nothing's close to their field.
No, you had to hike back there.
And then it's also, you're up and down hills. I feel like I was like on a mountain and I'm, you know, just, I was constantly walking uphill. I don't think I ever walked down a hill. I was always walking up a hill. Yeah.
Both
and then,
ways.
Of course, we go to Kevin's game. And then I was like, well, at least I can just like kind of sit there. And no, I mean, it, you know, sitting on a stone bench for 5 hours, like, it was just a little ridiculous, just a little bit. But we, you know, look, the kids had a good time. And we all know that all that matters, right?
Right.
So, Mike, Stacy Reese, who is a parent of one of the girls on your soccer team, is the one who kind of put you on our radar. I mean, I've known you for a while, but you know, she's like, you really need to talk to Coach Mike. And then I was talking to her about, you know, opening day, and she made a comment because Stacy knows my feelings with soccer. And she also was the one that mysteriously put the Falston Cup trophy on my doorstep. I don't know if you've heard about that, but she put a Falston Cup trophy on my doorstep because
she's
I make
awesome.
The Falston Cup and their trophies. But anyway, super cool. Funny.
I think I owe Stacy a couple of conversations then, right?
Yes, you do. Yep. I was telling her about opening day, and she said, by the way, soccer doesn't have opening day. And you know what I said to her, Mike? I said, that's because soccer never stops.
There's no closing day.
So there is no closing day, so you don't have to open it.
I love it.
Right?
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I do have a joke to start real quick, Mike, also. So,
oh, boy.
You coach girls soccer, right? So,
oh, boy.
Why? This is so stupid, but it's great because you coach the younger girls. So why does Cinderella not play soccer?
Why does Cinderella not play soccer? I don't know, Anthony. Why doesn't Cinderella?
Because she runs away from the ball.
Oh, but I'm fun.
Come on.
Cute.
Yep. I'll let you use it too, Mike. Whenever you want, you can use
geez.
It.
I will. Yeah, free of charge.
Do you think Stacy told us to talk to you because she wants more playing time for Caroline? Or do you think?
Awkward.
Mike, you're very quiet. He's very silent.
No, I think
cricket.
Yeah, Stacy could set this up for a number of reasons.
Caroline's your goalie, though, right?
Caroline plays goal. Caroline's proud of her, man. She's been courageous.
Yeah.
She's we kind of operate. You know, it's funny. I think Nick, you both know this, but finding a goalie at a young age is quite challenging, right? You kind of don't want to pigeonhole kids to. Goal, and sometimes a little bit of a anxiety provoking, you know, position. You let
sure.
in a goal,
oh, yeah.
maybe lose a game, or you know, a lot of our tournaments end in penalty kick shootouts, and there's just a lot of kind of weight on those kids' shoulders. And Caroline is one of a few kids, and she played a lot in goal recently and done a really nice job. And she's just kind of stepped up to the challenge and taking it head on. It's been awesome to see, man, because again, a little bit out of your comfort zone, and she's done a heck of a job. So it's been fun to see.
So it kind of sounds like she's earning playing time. So Stacey's just not going to work too well if she, you know, she's trying to get more out of you.
That's right. Yeah, she plays the field too and does a nice job. But filled a need for us in goals, so that's been cool.
Yeah, and she's a good kid too. So
yeah.
Great kid, outstanding.
So Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself, like your playing career back in the day. You know, maybe where you went to high school. You can definitely elaborate on that if you want. And then your coaching.
Yeah, that was a nice selfless Calvert Hall plug.
Right? Oh, thank you. I didn't even know. Man, you went to Calvert Hall? I didn't even know.
Oh my gosh. It's a situation.
Yeah, that's good. That's smooth. So about me, I guess. Yeah, started playing sports at a young age, maybe 5-6 years old. Soccer, baseball, a little bit of basketball. Surely, as you both know, it was different then, right? There was kind of little bit more disciplined seasons. You played really good soccer out of, in my case, Rosedale kind of travel program. And you do that for a while. You do it from your, you know, when you're like under 8 to whenever the time's right to maybe pursue something bigger and better. But I played soccer, played on, you know, I got the high school top club teams around, like really successful, and played high school ball at Calvert Hall, played 4 years, Division I college, UMBC. Actually was fortunate enough to get drafted to play pro indoor soccer, and it didn't work out for, you know, instability with the league and relocations and stuff. Yeah, continued to play after that, amateur ball, you know, in your 20s, early 30s and such. And along the way, got involved in coaching, helping out some of the club travel programs and like under 23 programs. So college age kids, like late high school age kids, even in some case, and loved it, man. The game gave me so much, had some of the best coaches growing up, just to where they made a profound impact on my life. And I kind of wanted to, you know, whether it was youth coaches or adolescent or college coaches, high school college coaches, just wanted to kind of give that same experience back to other kids as they were playing and teach what I learned in the game, you know, kind of back down to the next generation. So currently coaching with Pipeline, love the club, great kind of leadership with it, you know, at the top. And then I coach out of the North setup with John Carroll and Cedar Lane, and, you know, Jimmy Fendrick and Tony there are just wonderful. So Santino and Sean are great. So just, you know, just love doing it. It's a way to stay involved in the game and kind of break away from some of the day-to-day stuff with life, with work, and, you know, some of the things we're all going through. So really enjoying it. Love listening to you guys. It's awesome what you guys are doing. So,
well, thanks, man. And where's Jimmy? When did Jimmy Fender go to high school, Mike?
Calvert Hall as well.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
See, I did that. I did that back to you. Keep it going.
We need Calvert Hall to sponsor this. Obviously.
Listen, I'm sponsoring them, I think, at this point.
Talk to Andy Moore, right?
Yeah, he's a new principal there. Old soccer coach at Calvert Hall.
Oh, we should have him on.
He just actually got named principal today.
No way.
Former soccer coach at Calvert Hall. He was a president of St. Mary's in Annapolis.
Oh.
And we had a vacancy at principal at Calvert Hall, and he actually just got the job. So congrats.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's fantastic. So, Mike, I think common theme in what you said earlier, and I think it's awesome that, you know, you had a really good experience with, you know, coaches that had a profound impact on your life, and now you're kind of giving back like they did. I think, you know, all the coaches, Nikki, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think you included, like, and myself definitely, you know, had great coaches, and now you want to be a coach. So I think that's awesome, you know, that you had that foundation at a young age, and now you want to give back as well.
What were some of the things that your coaches did for you, Mike, growing up, going through it as a player yourself and at such a high level that you are applying now that you notice is like really helpful and productive?
Yeah, I think maybe one of the common themes were, and again, it probably progressively, like the dynamic starts to shift a little bit as you get older,
yeah.
But there was always, behind any kind of teaching moment or instruction or what have you, there was always a bit of kind of encouragement and support that followed it, right? Like we're still trying to teach these kids at a really young age, like the right way to play the game. And sometimes that means, you know, a couple mistakes in a row the same way. You try to reinforce the mistake and what they're doing wrong, but try to follow it up with a, you know, pat on the back or a little fist pump or something to kind of keep their spirits high because they're young. They're, they're babies. There's a lot of them just turning 9 years old, right? So just feels too serious, too young in some cases. And depending on your coach and the interaction, I don't know. We just try to try to really be supportive and foster that environment that's a little more productive in teaching.
Yeah, my my softball girls are pretty much the same age, I think, as your girls. So they're like 9, 10, I think, at this point. So, yep. I mean, the age groups are different for whatever sport you play. Like, you either play your class year, your birth year. You play the year before May 1st. I don't, there's so many different parameters with different sports. But, you know, with my 9 and 10-year-olds, you know, we have this thing on softball where if I see, like, the girls kind of, like, you know, kind of getting all up in their heads, I'll just say, hey, give me an oh yeah, and then all the girls will scream oh yeah. And I actually have oh yeah shirts made for the coaches we all wear. I'm like, it's like yeah. Our battle cry. But like something little and stupid like that, like you said, you know, just to kind of keep it light goes a long way, I think, especially with the younger kids, for sure.
I couldn't agree more. And I was just going to say, we've had Nikki out to kind of work with our team on some stuff, and just the concepts of, like, you know, just the mental space that, you know, you try to live in and play in and be in, and just some of the, I remember the power stance kind of concept, yeah. Right? Like some of those things that kind of promote good vibes, good feelings, confidence, et cetera. Like whatever your way to manifest that is, it can be. But yeah, we certainly try to think about that a lot.
I mean, Coach Nikki, that's got to be like, you know, Dave Matthews, like at a concert, hearing the fans singing his song back to him. Like, that's awesome. You're probably sitting over there going, damn, man, power stance. I like it.
Well, you know, that's cool that you guys are still power stancing, because it's super important and fun, right? But I was going to say, I do remember coming out to your team to do a mindset session, and it was cold. It was like a weekday night. And the girls had blankets and stuffed animals, and it was such a cool environment. And you coaches were there, and you were super interactive with the team. And, you know, it was a real cool night. Like, I walked away just feeling like that was a neat team bonding experience for sure.
It was, and I think it's one of those things, like, we all remember some of our maybe fondest memories, and you kind of always remember the torrential downpour game, right? Yes. When you're kind of like sliding through the mud, or like the kids would have remembered it if it was a 70 degree night, but I think they'll always remember it
for the
work that it was, but also the fact it was probably 40 degrees and
they had their stuffed animals and blankets. Like, when does that happen, right? Yeah. They won't remember it much. Maybe the power stance. That's cool. I'll take that as a win.
You gotta take the wins when you get them, right? So Mike, in your career, you have coached obviously teams that did not have your kid on the team. And now you're coaching your daughter, right? So what's the differences in your opinion, and what do you like one better than the other? And kind of what are the challenges that you have in coaching your own kid?
Yeah, I'd say my daughter is the difference and my daughter is the challenge.
There you go.
She's the greatest differentiator and the best part of being different, but also the most challenging part of being different. I think I would say, some of my previous experience, I always think it's healthy, right? Like, you see a lot of coaches now that are coaching their kid exclusively, and that's fine, I think. And depending on what setup you're in, that's fine. But I think you need a different coaching experience to maybe detach it from just being so personal to coach your kids. So I coached again with like a U23 setup, U21 setup, I think, for a bit with the Baltimore Bays, with some really good kids that I attachment to, other than Jimmy Fendrick being the head coach, and I love him. That was an experience. Then helped coach some amateur league teams like the Christos and Christos FC, playing in Maryland majors and progressing, like, you know, through open cups, national open cups and things like that. And that was an older group of men, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And then coaching these younger kids, right? It's just all so different and dynamic and interesting, and the way you need to approach it is also different. So yeah, it's tough coaching your kid. Anthony, I've listened to you quite a bit, and Nikki as well, with your kiddos, and just I don't know whether your kid's the best player on the team, and in most cases somewhere in between. You have to kind of recognize the situation, try not to be too biased, try not to be too hard, right? It's a delicate dance you have to do, and I think it needs to be done thoughtfully and carefully. So
yeah, I mean, I think I handled, you know, the Kevin situation well, and then not well, like, if that makes sense. Like, you know, like, I play my best, you know, travel team, competitive team. Like, I play, you know, my best players, and sometimes that's not Kevin. But then also as a dad, looking down the bench and seeing him sit there, it's like, it's devastating as a father. You know what I mean? And like, but as a coach, like, you kind of have to separate that, you know. And it was a dance for a while, you know. Younger age groups, we kind of let all the kids play. And then as they got older, you know, the playing time was sort of earned. And like, he did get on the field, but just not as much, you know. And, you know, seeing him on the bench as dad was rough. Definitely for mom, mm-hmm. was way worse. Mm-hmm. And I would hear, you know, when I got home too, I can't believe you're not playing them. It's like, I got a job to do, you know what I mean? And like, it's not just a dad hat that I'm wearing here too, you know, like, so I agree, man, definitely difficult, you know, different perspective for sure.
Mike, I know you have some good assistant coaches on your team. Do you assign those coaches to your kid and vice versa?
I think I do. I think the short answer is, yeah, I do and do, right? So it's not just me. It's a little bit. There's three coaches, mm-hmm. Mike DiOrio and Tracy McCreary, which Mike, we grew up playing youth soccer against each other. So I have a longstanding relationship with Mike. And then a more recent friendship with Tracy. And mm-hmm. it's interesting. All of our daughters are friends and they interact well. And it's like a great dynamic because all are really facile and highly functioning and kind of coaching youth sports from a different perspective. But it's almost like you have to pawn off your kid with a direct line to those two sometimes, right? Because they just, they speak a different language to them. And kind of reciprocally, I do the same with their kids. It's better sometimes. You just need to recognize it's not, you know, those two are the only one that can talk to Gabriella, my daughter, but sometimes you just can see it not landing and they step in and they can see it and you just work it out right real time. So I think that's a real dynamic and a real thing for sure.
Yeah. Like for me, I stopped coaching Kevin's team 2 years ago. So he's got a coach. His name's Coach Bill now. Coach Bill, shout out. So mm-hmm. I'm the bench coach, just kind of help him out whenever he needs help. But, you know, in coaching Kevin, like it's funny because I watch Bill coach Kevin and it's like, it's cool for me to sit back and watch it because, you know, Kevin will come over to me. He's like, hey dad, he's like, Coach Bill just fixed my swing. He told me I just got to stay closed and I got to keep my elbow tucked in and maybe try to take it more to right. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I've been telling you this for 8 years. Like, you don't listen to me, but like Coach Bill can get it out of him. Like dad can't, you know what I mean? Like, so I think that there's definitely something to be said about, you know, other people coaching your kid and, you know, you not being able to coach your kid like that. Cause you know, you may see yourself as coach and dad, but they are going to see you as dad pretty much no matter what, you know, at that age, you know?
Yeah. That can be a frustrating part, but it's a real thing for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I would say, you know, the benefit of coaching your kid is the time that you get to spend with them. Right. So,
absolutely. You know,
I mean, I have some regrets, but not many. I mean, but the one thing that outweighs all the regrets is like the time I got to spend with Kevin, driving to and from games, at the games, you know, absolutely. The weekends and the away tournaments and just the quality time at practices. And, you know, we see each other all the time, but in that atmosphere is pretty cool, you know, to share the field with them. And, you know, that's something I'll always remember. Now I'm doing it with my daughter. So, you know, lots of memories, you know, that you can take out, you know, when they grow up, because, you know, he's going to be in high school next year and I can't even, you know, believe it, but you know, it happens so fast. You kind of have to make the best of it for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny. Often my daughter, she doesn't open up easily, at least my oldest, Gabriella. And every once in a while, like I'll poke her a little bit like, hey, Gab, I heard you talking to that defender. You know, what'd you say? And she'll just start to like, you know, give me little tidbits. And then on her own time and on her own schedule, you'll get like the raw kind of unfiltered. You know what she said to me, Dad? It's just the best. Like in the car ride home often or yeah. Just right after the fact. So it's cool. It's definitely, I love it.
The car ride home was my favorite, I think.
It's awesome.
The car ride there, we would listen to inappropriate music. You know, Kevin learned, you know, DMX and, you know, all that stuff like really early on in his life. I think it shaped him to who he is today. You know, he might just bark at somebody for no reason, but whatever. It is what it is. You mentioned when we were younger, you know, we had set seasons. And I know I sound like I pick on soccer all the time. You know, it's really not a vendetta I have. I just kind of have fun with it. It's a joke for me, but you know, soccer, I mean, you guys don't stop, right? So you kind of go all year round. Baseball and softball, we do dip into the fall. But I'm on record that I don't like fall baseball or softball because I'm a huge fan of kids playing different sports. So I want them to, you know, to play different sports. And as a spring coach, and I'm just being honest with you, Mike, like I kind of told you I would be, as a spring coach trying to put a team on the field with kids that play competitive club soccer, where you're trying to put a team on the field and you say, hey, who do I got Saturday? He's like, well, I can't come because I have soccer. And you're like, man, I ask you for 3 months, you know what I mean? Or 2 months of your time to play softball. Now you got, you know, some of the bigger soccer tournaments now are in the spring. Yep. So what are your thoughts? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you got to name drop the soccer tournament first. I know you want to.
Well, it's the Jeff Cup, and there's like seven different Jeff Cup weekends. And then the Maryland, the State Cup is in the spring too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
yeah, that's happening, right?
But yeah, it is. It is in the spring. It's just changed so much. So yeah, it's interesting. Again, growing up, when all of us grew up, it was like for us, because we played soccer seriously, it was still fall. We played winter indoor, but it wasn't the you know, indoor session two, futsal, et cetera, two nights a week training. It was more relaxed, right? And then in the spring, it was a night of training and maybe a league, and yeah, more casual. If you missed, you missed, et cetera. It's definitely a little different now. I try to kind of work a system to where I somewhat over roster kids to some extent at this younger age, to where, look, I'm going to over roster you, and I'm kind of going to not apologize for it and not think too much differently about it. But I'm also not going to hound you if you're playing lacrosse, and I support, like, my daughter plays lacrosse as well. Right. That's her priority in the spring. If we have a big tournament and they have a league game or something, I try to be communicative, I guess, with the coaches around that. And like, you know, we're going to prioritize four games over one, but otherwise lacrosse is the priority. So we try to balance that out. And, because of that, it works, right? Cause I'm not treating 9-year old, even club soccer is like, you have to be there every game, every training, even in the spring season and winter and such. I think they need room to kind of have other things. My daughters, both of them play three sports, soccer, lacrosse, and basketball. And, they love it. Make them happy, and they make me happy watching them. So yeah, we try to support that as much as we can, but absolutely soccer is a real thing. It's a full kind of year sport. We take the summers off. We'll still maybe once a week get together, you know, knock the ball. But the other sports have started to do that too. Like even Gabriella's basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
They like the team they have. So they're trying to do spring skills and drills and then some summer scrimmage. It all kind of creeps on you a little bit.
That basketball, that AAU stuff's no joke.
It is.
They get a little crazy with the AAU, and Spooky Nook has, what, 75 courts for every sport you can think of? I mean, they go crazy.
That's right.
Yeah, all over the place. But you forgot sand soccer in the summer. Don't lie, Mike. Do you guys do play sand soccer too?
We've never done it, but if the kids want to,
it's fun. Yeah. Now, I think you hit it. Oh, sorry, Nikki.
Let me ask about Pipeline, because for those listening who aren't aware, Pipeline is a very competitive club. Is that accurate to say, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. Sure.
Yeah. So it's eye-opening to hear you as the head coach. What's the age group that you are coaching?
So it's kind of dictated by birth year. So 2014 birth year. So it's under 10, and sometimes we'll play up a year. And so under 10, 2014 birth year, 9-year-old kids, basically.
A couple of things I heard, which is interesting, like over rostering at that age, knowing for you that you understand and support multi-sport athletes, which is really cool. When does that stop in a competitive club team environment, or does it ever?
Yeah, I think it's probably dictated by, you know, quality of team, mentality of coach, even within the same club, right? If you kind of have one of the top teams around and you're really pursuing something, which can also be quite fun, kind of competing at those levels. Maybe kind of switches on a little earlier to where they are asked to choose between sports. Again, I think too young is too harmful.
Yeah, because when you're with your daughter and, you know, they're at an age where you don't know what sport they're going to fall in love with at this point, right? And I think that passion is what you need to commit to such a rigorous schedule, right? And you don't know it until you try it. And so there's a process. And so she's in that process right now, which I think is great. And then at some point, and I like what you had said, depending on the team and the coach, because it's not just the club and the program, because usually within a club or program, there are different levels of teams. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. And I think sometimes these clubs get, you know, they people are like, oh, well, that's just very serious and we're not ready for that. But, you know, I don't know, Mike, if you can kind of pull the curtain back on that process to say, like, how would a parent get an idea of that before they allow their kids to try out, right? Do they email the head coach? Do they talk to the club director?
Yeah, I think the way it kind of looks and plays out and feels right now is oftentimes you kind of, you know, maybe dip your toe in the water and get a feel for it before you try to pop out to a tryout session or formally commit to a club. Cause that's what we do. We've had kids that were interested in the program and quite frankly, some are just blindly sending emails that say, hey, we heard about Pipeline. My daughter likes soccer and she comes out on the field and no disrespect to any kids, but they're just not at a level that it makes sense for them or us, right?
And sure,
you don't want to do that to the kids, but for the kids that are of, you know, more so than their quality, like do they really love the game and do they want to be there? I think just popping out, emailing the club or the coach and getting in touch with that local, you know, the 2014 girls coach at Pipeline North and saying, hey, we got a kid who's interested. Say, hey, why don't you come out next Monday? We're, you know, we're happy to incorporate kids in to see how they like it, if they fit in, if something else seems more appropriate, et cetera. I mean, I would say obviously sports have become a business. There's no question about it. And they've become a business probably because there's a niche for it and because people put a lot of time into it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the people aren't doing this in their spare time. Like they dedicate their lives to this. People are running these clubs. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it feels like it's not all about that sometimes, right? Like we turn kids away for more appropriate fit all the time. Maybe the club wouldn't like me saying that, but I actually think they would appreciate me saying that, right? Like it's not a fit for everyone. So I think it goes into that kind of whole dynamic, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, even the sports, like you said, it's a business. I mean, these tournaments, I mean, that's a huge business at this point.
It's unbelievable.
Right? So like, I think, you know, our friend, I think, you know, the Livers too, obviously, you know, he runs a tournament and from what I understand about him, he had a pretty successful job and he stopped it to do these tournaments. And I don't think he's regretting the decision because, you know, Kevin would play in some of these tournaments that he runs and there's, you know, 90 teams in the tournament and God knows how much they're spending to pay, you know, to play in the tournament. And I mean, they're making a ton and hey, no disrespect at all. I mean,
if you build it, they will come. I mean, that's what
these tournaments are huge money makers, you know?
And as a head coach, Mike, do you feel pressure? Are you getting your team into the right tournament? Or is that something that your club or organization takes for you?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the club has a framework of what tournaments kind of we align with to some extent. And then underneath that, they trust their folks that they trust enough to run teams to make decisions that are good fits for tournaments. I can't say we've stepped in and ran away with any tournaments because we try not to place ourselves at those levels. And often we're not like really completely out of game. So we try to make it competitive so the kids have the chance to win, but they, you know, they might lose 3-0 or whatever that looks like. So there's a little bit of balance in there. So yeah, I think the club has their framework of tournaments that they participate with, but they leave you some room underneath as trusted kind of runners of their clubs and their teams and to place them at the right level. So
very cool. I mean, I think for me in baseball, and now I'm figuring it out with softball, but some of these tournaments that you register for in the baseball landscape, you know, there's an A level and then there's like a B level. There's really only two levels. I mean, I can go on to my soccer joke and, you know, said that there's 75 brackets for each age group, but I'm not going to do that.
There's
but
more
like,
levels.
Literally, like, you know, you'll be in a B bracket and you'll play against the first team you play from New York, come down and like, they got three kids throwing 85 and you're like, you guys are a B team? Like this is, you know, you got those trophy hunters, you know what I mean? Things coming down. I feel like soccer is more structured in the fact that you kind of know, you know, if what you're up against, like you guys kind of know the teams in your, in your skill level, if you will. And if somebody's kind of, you know, not in that, in the right bracket, you're going to know pretty quickly. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's 100% right, Anthony. I think it's almost like a stigma, like kind of taboo to where you do not want to be a team that jumps all over a team 7-0, 6-0, 5-0. The soccer community is so small and tight to where there's like a blemish on you personally. Like it'll happen.
Reputation.
From time to time. Yeah. It's like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, that just doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Our team. So I don't think it happens often. Every once in a while, if you pick up a new team, you don't know what you have.
Right.
Maybe it's happened to us on the bad end of it with a highly overqualified team for like us playing in a second flight in a championship game. And we got kind of smoked in the finals. So it happens, but I can't say we've done it to teams. So
yeah, because I mean the whole trophy hunting thing to me has always been just a, you know, I just something that I've always stayed away from, and it's just always something that sticks in my craw, like at these tournaments and, you know, these teams that are clearly, you know, top level teams that you could be challenging your kids, you know, in your your competition level or even pushing them right into the top bracket. And you're just down there to win a trophy. I mean, I can go buy you a $10 trophy. You know what I mean? Like if
you, well, and you get them no matter what, right, Anthony?
So. Yeah, I mean, I get it anyway. I mean, listen, I've only coached one soccer team in my life, and it was when Kevin was four. And that's about the extent of my soccer knowledge was kickball, shoot ball, pass ball. And I got a Fawcett Cup trophy, so.
I mean, listen, here's the thing, though. Flipping the coin a bit, the travel ball scene,
yep.
Right? There's a lot of tournaments, yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot.
And there's a lot of trophies being given out for that, right?
Yeah, there are.
So my best I think it's fair to say.
My best Facebook joke by far, and I don't know if you remember this, Mike, but the Falston Cup was coming up, and there was that cargo ship issue out in, I think, California where they were lined up. It was in Gulf of Mexico somewhere where all the cargo ships were lined up, and I literally took a picture of one of the cargo ships with all the cargo containers on it, and I put on Facebook, I'm like, don't worry, folks. The cargo ship carrying all of the Falston Cup trophies has pulled into port. And is ready to go. I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, Ryan Tedderis and I are close friends, and him and I work together. And he just, like, I'll just talk to him, and I'm like, hey, so what bracket are you all in? You guys in the polka dot, peach, semi-elite bracket? You know, like, it's just funny. It's funny to me. But I get it, though, because honestly, I do, you know, rec has gone away pretty much. I mean, there is a rec, but there's not really a rec, right? So all skill level of anyone playing a sport at this point, you're basically playing travel or club.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of water down, right? So there's a lot of teams that, you know, like you said, no disrespect for the kids or the parents or anybody, but they really not travel players, right?
Yeah,
like Kevin, right. Like my son Kevin had zero business playing on a travel team for soccer. And like literally he would tell you. So I'm not telling you anything that he's not telling you.
Sure.
But all of his friends were playing on the team. So he's like, I'll try out. And he made it because he's just Kevin. And he's like a team player, and he'll run through a wall for whoever he's playing for.
Yep.
And that's, you know, he makes the team because of his heart, you know what I mean? Not necessarily because of his skill.
For
sure. Like, you know, and I feel like that's a lot, right? So there's a lot of kids, and there's also a lot of delusionment that comes from that because, you know, parents, like, I don't know how many people I've told, Mike, that have played baseball for me or against me that have visions of playing at Calvert Hall in high school. And I just like look at them and I'm like, no.
Yeah, like don't be disappointed if it doesn't.
Right, correct. Right. Like go and try. If that's your dream, like go get it. Like try. But if that doesn't happen, I want you to, you know, go there for the school. And if you play baseball, awesome. If you don't, move on because it's very, very, I mean, you start getting into some of these, you know, very competitive high school and then definitely college. I mean, you know, you can't expect your kid to shine at these top level places just because they play travel. You know what I mean?
I think you're 100% right. I went to a good buddy of mine growing up, baseball player, soccer player, really good athlete, went to Calvert Hall together, and he got cut from the fresh soft baseball team. I think he should have made JV, quite frankly. He was an exceptional ball player, and it just kind of like it stopped him in his tracks and his parents. And it's like we kind of went here for baseball, for the school for sure, but it makes you reevaluate. Like no one ever thought he would not make the fresh soft team. But it's kind of one of those moments you take stock in and reevaluate, and it's because the talent is unbelievable at these schools.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends that went to Calvert Hall with me that wanted to play soccer, and soccer is right there in the fall, right, you know, right as you come in, right?
Exactly.
So they get cut from the soccer team and they transfer immediately.
Yeah,
like it's absolutely. They're done, they're out. For baseball, you got to wait till spring, so you're literally going through your whole first semester.
Yep.
Right. So you're at Calvert Hall, you're established, you're going to school, and then you get cut from baseball. Now what? You know what I mean? So like. My message always is to kids, no matter where you go, right, is to if you're going to pick like a private school or something, you know, go where you love the school.
Yep.
And if sports is in the cards, you know, it'll work out for you. But, you know, you just can't hang your hat on that because you play travel, because every kid that's going to Calvert Hall play travel something.
Yeah. Or you pick up an injury or something unfortunate in the wrong timeline. Yeah. It's got to be for multiple reasons, right, to kind of be solid in your decision.
What was Gabriella's journey? Did she start in rec and move to club, or did she start right in club? And did you see signs of her potential? Because I know personally, I've seen her. So she's an athlete and, you know, she belongs where she is. But, you know, what was that journey like for her and you?
Yeah. It's kind of like a weird unintentional journey. My wife and I talk about it often. It's like did you make her play soccer? Did you really want her to play soccer? I'm like, no, I you know, naturally soccer for a kid is one of the first things they can do, right? Like my 16-month-old son is kicking a ball all around the house. It's so cute because it's at their feet.
Right.
So same with Gabriella. Like she just, you know, a little bit older than that. We're just kind of kicking around the living room and she just kind of was coordinated and aggressive. And, you know, at the age you can see, like, are they, you know, are they mobile? Are they doing stuff? And, yeah, we used to just play little games in the living room. Probably when she was three, I was like, man, this kid like won't give up. And she's,
yeah, she's super aggressive and competitive, yeah, like, which is a gift and a superpower for her. 100%. Yeah.
And just kind of smooth and agile. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, she started playing at a pretty young age through like, you know, just typical, I'm drawing a blank. Was it Crab Kickers or Mikey Lippman's Dynasty Academy? Like little,
oh, kind of coach for them. Dynasty Sports Academy. Cool.
It's awesome. And a guy I used to play soccer with and know, Andrew Gillis, was like her first little kind of, interaction with that, and he made it so fun. And yeah, she just had some talent and loved it. And again, it's all about the coaches making it fun. Like it's got to be fun. It's still got to be fun. I say it, not to get off course, but I say it now. I said it's kind of like a three-prong system for me. It's about fun. If it's fun, then it's about development. The kids will enjoy it and want to develop. If they develop, we will win. If we win, it's fun, right? It's like this self-perpetuating cycle, and it's real. It should still be fun when they're 16 years old. You know, it just should always be fun.
After every game in practice still for softball, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I always ask my girls the same two questions. Did you have fun today, and did you get better? And if the two answers are yes, then we did our job, right? So if it's not yes, then we got to do something as coaches and fix that. Because, like you said, it has to be fun or there's burnout, right? And then they have to – I mean, you want them to develop. Whether, you know, you lose 17-0, but, you know, Johnny got a hit. You know what I mean? Like you take the wins and you develop, but
absolutely.
And you mentioned your wife, Dana. So Nikki and I talk about our people a lot, right, on this podcast. So like I've said, you know, many, many times as a coach, I've coached Kevin's teams for years and now coaching Megan. The misconception from parents, and we're going to get into parents in a second, but parents is that a coach basically just shows up to the games and then, you know, rolls out on the field and, you know, yells at the ref for a couple minutes and then leaves and gets in his car and goes home and doesn't worry about anything else until the next game, which is, you know, Nikki knows, I know, totally not the case, right? Mm-hmm. So it's countless, countless hours of prep time for practice, prep time for tournaments, prep time for games, you know, communication to parents, communication to other coaches, refs, whatever the case may be. But you have to have a support system at home. Now, I know your wife very well. We went to school together back in the day, long time ago. Yep. Dana, salt of the earth person, like one of the best people I've ever met. So what do you think, you know, what would you like to say about that? Because you have to have that support system at home. Am I correct?
You're 100% correct. Kind of nobody better than my wife to do it. And again, I'm coaching Gabriella. I'm assistant coach for my younger daughter, 7-year-old Adriana's soccer team. So, which unfortunately I can't make a lot of her stuff, but between that and jockeying both kids to lacrosse and basketball, they're often weeknights where from say 5:15 to 7:45 or 8 or 8:15, like she's home with our 16-month-old son and kind of holding it down or cooking dinner and just do it, getting the kids lunches together. It's every night. And she's a rock star, and I couldn't coach if she wasn't willing to do that. Like, I think she sees it. She recognizes it. She realizes, hopefully, I'm making an impact, and we all are, all of us as coaches and parents who all do it collectively, like on these young kids' lives, to try to teach them the right game and give them some joy in playing the games that we love so much. So it definitely takes that partner and support system for sure. And she does an amazing job.
Yeah. Like without Christine, there is no Coach Anthony. There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, sure. I just want to throw that out there. I mean, she has put up with more than, you know, I could even, I mean, you know, when you get older with the older kids and the travel club sports, that's when our friends, the parents, start getting a little crazier. And, you know, you're on the phone with parents, you know, for hours at night sometimes. We don't want to be talking about God knows what. But, you know, and Christine, you know, that her time with me is affected during the season. And, you know, she's always kind of understood it. She's always had something to say, you know, about it. Like, she's always telling me, like, I bet you these people don't even know who their kid's math teacher is, but they're going to talk to you about playing time and about development or about whatever. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's a real thing for sure. Yeah, and it's true.
So talk to me about the parents. So I mean, don't single anybody out. Like, we've already singled Stacey out a couple times because, you know, this podcast is fun for me because I've known you for a long time. I went to school with your wife. I went to school with Stacey back in elementary school days.
Yep.
So I went to school with Nikki. Now, listen, man, mm-hmm. I've covered my entire educational background on this podcast today.
That's check, awesome. Check, check,
but
check, check.
So, I mean, so, you know, that's why we pick on Stacey. So, but the rest of the, you know, your parents, and it may not even just be the parents on your team, but parents around the sport that you love, right? So what is your perspective? Because to me, parents are nuts and they've lost their minds sometimes with just screaming at their kids, screaming at the refs, screaming at coaches. What is your take on that?
Yeah. Maybe we could break it down a little bit. When that happens, it's just uncalled for, right? There's no place for it. It's fine to be, into it and passionate and emotional about the game or your kid's performance, but it's got to be handled appropriately. I don't have much of that, and you might not believe it, but we have a great group of parents. Mm-hmm. Not just saying that because it's an easy thing to kind of say and avoid the question, like we do. There's been times where I've had honest, kind of blunt conversations with parents, and they've brought up kind of, you know, I don't know, topics to me that they wanted to talk about, but we've had kind of good dialogue and sorted through some things. And I think it's been good. I think if you ask the group of parents, it's been pretty good. Nothing's perfect. Wouldn't claim it to be, but it's been good. And we have a good group of parents. That's why I enjoy it so much, I think.
When you have kids coming out to try out for your teams for Pipeline, are you, it's a factor, right? The family that you're accepting onto that club, right? I mean, it has to be because you're with them, to Anthony's point, all the time, all year round.
Yeah. So, 100%. I think it's a factor. Mm-hmm. I think it says something about the family, kind of the parents' perspective, the way they interact with their kids, the way their kids are behaved, just everything. Yeah. I would say it's probably best summarized as like it won't get you on a team, but it may get you off a team, right? Probably a fair way to put it. And maybe the great tiebreaker in tight situations of, I don't know it, but yeah, families are important. Sure. Again, we're just really lucky because I think we've been mindful of it on the front end, to where there just haven't been many issues. But I think the family's super important, whatever that family dynamic looks like. So,
yeah, I mean, like I think it. I mean, every coach thinks that way, in my opinion, right? So whether people say it out loud or not, it has a huge impact, and it definitely has a bearing on whether or not they make the team or not, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, like you said, if you have two kids that are really, really neck and neck, and you have one parent that you know is going to be supportive and not say anything, and the other parent's just going to be a cancer on the side, like you're not taking that kid. And I've always tried to separate it as a coach, right? So I have definitely taken kids on my team knowing that the parent would be a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to take it out on the kid.
Yeah, the kid's worth it.
And sometimes, and sometimes it's worked in my benefit, and sometimes it's kind of worked against me because I wasn't able to control the situation as much as I wanted to, right? So I always had meetings before the season, and I do talk to my softball parents now, and I don't have any issues right now in softball. Like majority of my parents are great. I mean, they're all great. So. I don't really have any issues either, but I've had some issues in the past, right? So we've had meetings. I don't know. Do you do this? Do you talk to your parents before the season? Like, hey, here are my expectations. Like, we're going to treat referees with respect. We're not going to be those parents that are screaming at referees. We're not going to yell at our kids on the field. Do you set those expectations, or are your parents that good that it's already implied?
No, I think it's gotten to where it's already implied because we've been together for a bit now,
So it's culture now, basically.
I think so, and I think the parents might laugh at this one. But, so to answer your question, Anthony, we do. We kind of have a formal meeting beginning of the year. I'm in regular contact with most of the parents, checking in on them, the kids, how they doing. Not on a rigid timeline, but infrequently as I feel is needed, right, and the other coaches and such at practice. But, Yeah, we definitely have a meeting to start the year to kind of lay out expectations and such. I think it's funny about the referee stuff because I make it a point. I live the life of my favorite and best coaches, just kind of figuring out a way to communicate with the referees with like challenging them, but in an almost respectful way, if it's even possible to do that. So me and the other coaches, we have a little bit of fun doing that, right? Like you got to stand up for these kids. You got to question a call from time to time, but you're not out there screaming at them and just right. acting inappropriate, right? Like I've kind of challenged some referees, but you try to do it thoughtfully, kind of be a little funny about it, and
kind of like, hey, what did you see there?
Yeah,
test it's the water a little
like
bit.
A banter, and you're kind of working them all game, right? Yeah. And it's like it's some of the most fun we have is, and I think the parents kind of have got to a point where they appreciate that and they laugh at it just like we do as coaches. So it's a little bit of a game, but we try to be respectful about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've just seen way too many coaches and way too many parents get kicked off of fields for just berating umpires or referees or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's just, you know, the kid is just so embarrassed at that point. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I've just seen it way too much. And when I was a commissioner,
it's tricky.
When I was a commissioner of the baseball leagues, I would told the coaches, mm-hmm. like, look, if any of you get thrown out of a game, you're gone for two more games. Like, you're not coming back for a while. It's like almost like a timeout. Like you feel like you're, but I'm like, look, there's no reason. There's zero reason to get kicked out of a youth baseball game.
Absolutely.
I don't care.
You can't have dialogue, but we have to answer to it at the club. Like if we get kicked out, we have to explain kind of what happened. And it hasn't happened to me, but it wouldn't be pleasant. I've heard about it. It's not a good look, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, as much as soccer, you know, is that thing that sticks in my craw at times, I will say I have a lot of respect for Pipeline and for, you know, the Rush family. I've known them for a long time, and Sean and Santino are doing an amazing job, you know, leading that crew, and obviously Miss Marianne in the office doing her thing and all, you know, all the Rush family. And I know for a fact that their heart is in the right spot, right? So,
yeah, they're doing great stuff.
You know, my brother Brad played for Mr. Bob at BFC growing up. So we've known them for a while, but you know, they have a cult and it's the culture, right? So I know I can't imagine going up to them and saying you got kicked out and them taking it easy on you. You know what I mean? So,
because it's a brand, right? It's like the NFL. Like they work so hard to air quotes protect the shield. Like,
the shield,
Sean and Santino are doing the same thing, and they put a lot of time and thought and effort into it, and many others, and many other clubs, right? Whether it's Copper Mine or the Bays or HFC or lacrosse clubs or whatever, like people put a lot of thoughtful effort into it, and I think it all does come from the right place.
You don't want that to be a stigma against your club, right? Like a referee saying, "Oh God, here comes Pipeline."
Yeah, for sure.
Their coaches are going to be crazy today. You know that kind of. No, for sure.
It's a reputation thing.
I
think for the parents too, you know, parents develop reputations as well. Kids develop reputations. Oh, that kid at number 9, you know, on Pipeline or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's Caroline Reese, just for the record.
There you go. I knew it. Yes. But I do think parents can get a reputation for club hopping as well. What's your perspective on that? Is that out of control at this point? Is it not?
Maybe it could be out of control again. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I'm nothing else, I've kind of decent judge of character and reading situation. So I feel like we don't really like whether they approach us or we know kids are, oh, I'm interested in another team. Like we don't really seek that out. It's almost like a resume. Right?
Yeah.
You see 8 jobs over a 10, or 4 or 5 over a 10-year run. It's like there's some alarming kind of trends going on there. So
that's like the reputation. I think parents need to know that and hear that. You know, like you're very interested in that player's history. You know, even a 9-year-old, like, well, where were you before, right? Like, well, you know, and if the parents like, oh, I went to this club and then I went to this club and I went to this club and they went to like 3 clubs and their kid's 9, you know, what's that
it's
all
like,
about?
I don't know what you're looking for, but you're probably not gonna find it.
It might not
right?
work.
Like, it just
maybe it will. You know, and the other point of that is that, you know, like your daughter, Mike, I mean, Gabriella is super competitive and mm-hmm. it's a superpower of hers. And I would think she needs to be aligned with the right players and the right skill level.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you have those kids that are just trying to find that right fit. Right. And that makes sense. But if you have another parent who's just really wants their kid to be more than they are, you know, that's a red flag, and reputation is a big thing, and the sports world, like you had said earlier, is small and people do talk.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like anything, it's a balance. You take chance on kids because maybe it's not wholeheartedly their decision why they played for 3 clubs by the time they're 10. But you're more worried about the future, but you know, the past can kind of predict that in some cases.
It's like the transfer portal for club teams, man. Right. Yep. You got to recruit them. Then you got to kiss up to them to keep them there. And it's like, it's crazy, man. Like I've had kids at baseball, you know, they've been playing travel for 7 years and they've had six different teams. And you're like, really?
Like, yeah.
What are we doing here?
You know? I think that's really true. And the best way to kind of, they say that about college basketball, football, you kind of have to recruit your own kids. I don't see it. But just the language, like you just try to make sure they're happy, make sure they're developing, make sure they're enjoying it and touch base with them. But I think it's true, man, because other people want to go out and just pull your kids away from you. And you don't want that because you try to build something solid and decent that's a good place.
Yeah, poaching is a big thing too with coaches nowadays, you know, and that's an unfortunate thing, you know.
Yep.
You know, coaches going after kids. I mean, they're kids. I mean, let's be honest. They want to play with their friends and.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. You're going to promise Johnny he's going to be the starting shortstop and lead off for your team.
But it is nice to have an open dialogue with your coach to say, you know, if you have a good relationship with that head coach and you say, hey, look, these people are talking to me, you know, like, what do you think? Yeah. I mean, I know that's a hard conversation. I think you have to be brave and courageous to have that. But that's what it takes to give and get respect from each other as a parent and a head coach. Well,
and there's a healthy balance because Nikki and I have said it many times, like we love coaching, but neither one of us would say, and I'm sure you wouldn't say that, you know, everything about soccer and you're the best coach ever and you're for everybody. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be those kids, like you're just not for them and they have to move on, right? Whether you want them to move on or they want to move on, regardless, like it just doesn't work out. Right. So then you have to go to a different space and look for that, you know?
Yeah, yep. Emotions aside, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we often encourage kids. Like, again, we haven't done a lot of recruitment. We had this team that started as a 13-14 kind of combined team. And because of that, you start that way and then you try to get the kids right in their proper age group. And when that happened 2 years ago, I only had three kids. Wow. So it's going to be a challenge. Thankfully, I think I have a decent reputation in the soccer community, know people, you know, had a good career, et cetera. And people started showing interest, right? So it took a chance on 13 kids. And again, I knew that wasn't all going to stick a year later, but most of it did because the kids developed. Only two kids left. We brought in thoughtfully two kids, probably do something similar this year, but it hasn't been just anyone. And it hasn't been us saying, hey, you got to come over here and play. The approach is come out to a session. We know your kid really good. We think she can develop more here. Come out, see if you like it. Go check out the other club. Go check out this other club. See if you like them better. I think you'll probably come back. You might not, but let that be the determining factor. Not just, you know, hey, we need your kid. It's just a
security. It's a security piece. Like for you to have that security to say, I am who I am. This is my program. This is how I lead the team, you know, and if you like it, awesome. If you don't, that's okay too. You know, take a look at what other places are out there. Versus like, you need to stay with me. You need to stay with me, right? Like they're not doing it right and bashing everybody else. Like that's a bit insecure.
Yeah. It's
unhealthy. Unhealthy. Yeah, for sure.
So Mike, take the world of soccer, you know, the sport you love, right? Mm-hmm. And if you had to shine a light, you know, on anything that, you know, you think could be improved in the game, you know, at the youth level, really at any level, what would you say that is? I mean, what do you think you would like to see changed in the world of soccer? Coaching.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know.
It's a big question.
Well, I don't know if I have a great answer for it, but I'll say a couple things. Maybe again, like just a little bit of education around what's appropriate for your kid, right? Again, like we do see kids coming out to this. Again, you have rec sports. We'll talk about soccer here. So rec soccer, travel soccer, club soccer, and there are tiers to that, right? Just a little bit of awareness around the appropriate level, because if they're you're trying to place them at the inappropriate level, it starts to almost become, well, it's just a money grab, right? And it's just, I don't know. I think it just sets the wrong precedent to some extent. I think it's an interesting conversation though, guys, because it's like everyone watches the World Cup, right? Like you both watch the World Cup. I'd guarantee it. People who don't like soccer watch the World Cup because it's such a spectacle, right?
Mike, I love the World Cup, and I don't know why.
I do, for real?
I swear to God.
It is pretty awesome.
I think it's like,
awesome.
I just love America. So, like, I'll watch us play anything. Cricket.
Well, right.
I don't know anything about cricket. I'll watch it.
Right. So take that thought and put this alongside of it. You love America, right? There's 290 million people in the country. We should be better at soccer. Everyone feels yes. that way. Like, yes. why is America not Brazil yet? Why yes. are they not Italy? Why are they not Germany? Yet they have a problem for these more professional-like clubs or academy-like clubs at a younger age trying to develop these kids. If you want to get there, right, if you want USA to kind of tucker out at the quarterfinals or not make it out of group stage at a World Cup level, which is the beacon of kind of what you're measured against, mm-hmm. something has to change, right? It has to get more serious at a younger age. I'm not saying that's for everyone, but that's what's happening in Brazil and England and Italy. And so it's an interesting dynamic.
We have these institutions where these kids are Absolutely. Growing up in schools away from their families and immersed in the sport and the language. Is that, do you think that's where we would need to go? USA would need to go to be able to compete at that level?
Yeah, I feel like it's like getting there. It's inching mm-hmm. along. But I think I just kind of call that out because you can't have both, right? Mm-hmm. USA can't be a team that competes like legitimately for a World Cup or just say the semifinals or what have you, unless this continues and pay to play structure. I think it probably has to be because the right talent has to dedicate their time to it. Right. They have to be compensated for it. It's just the way it is. But
yeah.
I just think it's an interesting conversation because it can't get there unless it gets more serious at a younger age, because that's what the other countries are doing that are the premier kind of international.
And it's only certain kids that have yep. that, like Gabriella, you know, at 16 months old, you could see the competitive spirit in her, right? You know, it's like, that's not everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, you definitely yeah. hear that, you know, all these clubs, we want to be better. And, you know, like, I think it was, you know, I heard a college coach, I'm pretty sure it was Gino Auriemma, that was saying that, you know, when he coaches son's AAU team, he focused a lot more on practices than playing 100 games. And right. he said that the European model, I guess in lacrosse, soccer, whatever, they focus way more on technical, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
way more on practices. Like, they're not going to play 4 or 5 games a week. They're going to practice 5 or 6 times a week.
You yeah,
know,
sure.
and focus on fundamentals. So I think that's, you know, I definitely hear what you're saying there for sure.
Yeah. So it's just an interesting kind of take
yeah.
on it.
Do you think that people are shining a light on that? You know, I think for me personally, I feel like people are, but I'm not in it as much. You know, do you know if U.S. soccer is looking to restructure, if that's a conversation that they're having?
Yeah, I think it's certainly always in the conversation and always in play. I'd probably encourage, you know, someone else to give you a much deeper kind of appreciation for that, honestly, that like,
yeah.
again, like a like Sean Rush or Santino or whoever, like they would have a dynamic in that yeah. Be far more useful than what I could provide. But I think it's certainly in play to get U.S. soccer to where the country and folks want it to be and where it deserves to be. So,
yeah, very cool.
Well, Mike, I really wanted to thank you for coming on today, man. It's been great. Yeah. It's actually been a really, really good conversation. I mean, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. So definitely got a lot out of it. You know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, different sports and getting different perspectives is huge for us. So really appreciate having you on.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it. I love what you guys are doing. It's really, seriously, I'm not saying that because I'm talking to you two right now. I've told Stacy, I've told other folks, like told my wife. It's just, we listen to it. It's awesome. You guys are doing a great job. So thanks for
having
me.
I did a mindset session with Gabby's lacrosse team, and she came up to me and she was like, you know, we listened to your podcast on the ride to school.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
I know.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah,
it was really cute. Yeah. So thank you so much, Mike. We really appreciate you guys and what you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Same to you. And thank you.
Pick me up some trophies at these other tournaments, man, so I can be a soccer
Drop it
champion.
Off.
You got it.
A champion like the rest of you guys.
There's enough around, buddy. I'll grab you some.
Thanks for listening to the Coaching Up Podcast with Anthony Davis and Nikki Murphy. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share this podcast with others.